Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we are taking a break from our study of the book of Revelation to look at the book of Proverbs with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
If you don't teach your children how to think, someone else will. You ought to be a parent in the faith. If you've been your walk in Christ, you ought to be. That's why Paul wrote to them. He said, you're still babes in Christ. You can't help anybody else. You're a baby. You haven't grown up. You know, I want to give you the meat. I want to strengthen you. I want to build you up. Why? So that you can build up others. For the edification one of another, for the good of the church and the brethren. That's what it's about. And they can't do that because they're still babies. They're not a parent to anybody. Okay. And if you don't do this, the people that we have an obligation to, someone else is going to train them how to think. Someone else, be it on the internet, be it in school, be it at the workplace, wherever it is going to teach them how to think. It's our responsibility to teach them the right way, begetting other minds as that little Christs, Christians, imitators of Christ. Why? Not just because we're part of the family of God, but because we have the mind of Christ dwelling in us richly into all wisdom. That's how it's all tied together. So we looked at that. He that winneth souls is wise. And here's why. I know it's kind of a long recap, review, introduction, but here's why it becomes important. Because as you blossom from caterpillars to your beautiful free-thinking butterflies that now I understand all things and now I can comprehend all things and I can take on all the ideas of man and everything else. And okay, before you share something, not just on social media or anything else, literally out of your mouth, before you share something or before you engage in something that someone else has shared, ask yourself this question. What is the scriptural reference for this line of thinking? Before you share something or before you engage with something someone else has shared, if you want to be prepared, ask yourself, what is the scriptural reference for this line of thinking? Why do you have to ask yourself that? Because the Bible is the basis for critical thinking. It is our reference point. We have to understand these things, and that's why I talked about there's other people that they get out there and they have these ideas and these other things and they'll share it, but when you look at it in light of Scripture, you're just kind of thinking, what are you going on about? You know, that doesn't make, not only does not it make any sense, but it's damaging relationships within the brethren, causing divisions and strifes. And it happens because they have no scriptural reference for it. They'll have great historical examples or social examples or logical arguments, but they have no scriptural reference for the thought, the line of thinking they're trying to share or convince you of. So don't be fooled. The next time you see something and you think, there's some truth to that, stop. What is the scriptural reference for that line of thinking? And if there isn't one, junk it. You don't need it. Okay, here's why. We've been raised kind of the independent thinker generation and the be yourself and express yourself. We're all free thinkers and we're all unique and we're all special. All right, let me drop a bombshell on you. Independent thinking will doom your soul. Everybody likes to think, I'm smart, I'm independent, I figure these things out. Independent thinking will doom your soul. That is, thinking independently of Scripture. There's no hope. You could go to as many colleges, as many seminaries, anything you want to go to. But if you're thinking independently of Scripture, your soul, your mindset, it's doomed. It's destroying the lives of so many around us because everybody's an independent thinker. Well, it's been outlined very clearly how we ought to think. And when you get independent of this, that's when you get into trouble. So that's what I talk about when I talk about independent thinking. That is thinking independently of Scripture. And so that's where that need for observation we talked about in verse number 8, it came in for us. And that brings us up to verse number 9 in Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. It's important that we know all these things because We have to establish that we've got to have a scriptural reference point when it comes to the things that we meditate upon, the things that we think over. We can run through all kinds of scenarios and this versus that, but if there's no basis in scripture for it, there is no hope at the end of that road that thought leads you down. And we have to have that because there's an unpleasant thought that we can find that I'm fond of called merited favor or the value of personal truth. And that's the lesson for tonight that we find there in chapter 1, verse number 9. Here's what we need to understand about merited favor, the value of the personal value of truth. It's the need for association. We see this in verse number 9. Now, I'll slow down now because we're caught up, and I want to make sure you get this. It's the why. It's the why. Grace versus favor. A concept that, well, let's just read. We read verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Okay, here's the why. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. What it's talking about here. This ornament and this why, you think of it like a wreath, like you'd adorn your head with. Or if we could just, to get us on the same page, when you look at the door and it's adorned with a wreath, we make an association with that. What is it? It's a stamp of approval, of appreciation, of expression of Christmas, of the holiday season. If you look on my door, there's a Christmas wreath on the door. Nobody drives by a house with a Christmas wreath and goes, man, they must hate Christmas. It don't make any sense. No, it's, boy, they enjoy Christmas. Look at this Christmas spirit that's in them. Okay. Well, when it talks here about there'll be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck, that ornament of grace, it's the wreath that adorns you, and the chains about thy neck isn't chains that you're tied down with. It's like a necklace. It's an adorning. It's something that we put on. People make an association. It's an outward expression that's visible, that people see it. If I wear a Florida Gator bow tie, you're going to see it and you're going to associate me with the Florida Gators as being a Florida Gator fan. Nothing wrong with that association. But we ought to tie these things scripturally. People ought to see us and associate us with the Bible because it's our basis for our thinking. It's where all of our critical thinking takes place, is from the Bible. And that's what it's talking about. When we hear the instruction of the father and the law of the mother, it becomes an ornament of grace unto our head, chains about thy neck. It adorns us. We are associated with those things. And as such, we are literally receive a blessing by association. Throughout the Old Testament, do you remember the times when the Israelites were with a certain folk and those people were blessed because the Israelites were with them? They were blessed by association. The Bible talks about generational blessings that happened and the things that Solomon got because of his father David's walk with the Lord. Well, there's certain things that we're privy to, this special grace that we get, literally because we're associated with the things that have come before. You could be a brand new member of Westwood Missionary Baptist Church and you could go somewhere else that's familiar with the work and they find, man, you're a member of Westwood. What good work they do in the missionaries, this and that and that. And you could be thinking, well, I just joined. I ain't done a thing. But you're blessed by association. We ought to be associated with some good things. And that's what Proverbs talk about here in chapter 1, verse number 9. And so we're going to look at grace versus favor. The why here. Okay. Why go through the book of Proverbs? Why try to change our, literally, why try to change our thinking? Why not just make our life easier? Why not just make everybody love us? Why not make me healthier or wealthier or whatever? Don't make me change the way I think. Why? Why do we need to do this? The grace of God is intentionally bestowed upon man. We need to understand this. There's a purpose to the grace of God that's given to us. We find in Titus 2:11, it says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all man. There's a purpose. It's intentionally given, shown to all man to bring forth salvation.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.